The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Just going to give this to you in case you need it. She's doing double duty this morning. She's going to help me preach. She just doesn't know it yet. But God's going to drop some things in her as we go along, and she's going to be totally free to interrupt me because she's got a lot to say. How many of you know when you walk with God in places you've never walked before, you get to know God in a way you've never got to know him before. And he becomes someone before you he's never been to you before, because you've never needed him in that way. And that's one of the joys when we go through stuff in life, and we do. The question that must always arise is never why, but God, what? What are you going to do? Lord, what are you going to, and who? Who are you going to be for me in this situation, Lord? Because God is always in it. And he's always, it doesn't mean he originates every difficult and challenging thing, but the reality is when struggles and challenges come in our life, our Father looks at them and immediately says, aha, opportunity for a test of faith. It's what the Bible calls it. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith. James said it, Peter said it, Paul said it. And believe it or not, there is joy in the tests. I want to talk to you today about new wine. I also want to commend the prayer team, or people that were in the prayer room this morning, had very many awesome prophetic words that were very accurate, and I just want to acknowledge that. I think you all as a group that gather in there every Sunday morning to pray, I want you to know that your perceptions and the downloads that you get during that time are very significant, and they shape. And it's not that we ever want to mess with the preacher or the word, but that isn't not what happens, but rather it accompanies and confirms some things. So I just want to commend those of you who were in the room this morning, and I realize that group sometimes changes. By the way, prayer every Sunday morning from 9 to 9:25 in the prayer room. We pray for the service, prayer for the worship team, pray for the prayer teams. And you are welcome to be there. Luke chapter 5, verse 33. Then they said to him being Jesus, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? And he said, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. And then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled, and the new wineskin will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. No one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. Several months ago, Alan Ross was with us for our prophetic conference, and he made a declaration that he has made before in the past, and that is that the charismatic movement as we knew it had come to an end, and he put a time on it, which is always dangerous because I found anything that ends takes a long time to end. It'd be really hard to put a thing and say, well, the hippie movement ended in such and such a year. Come on, there's still hippies among us. So it's always dangerous, but in truth, prophetically speaking, you can say the Lord began to initiate the change or the shift in such and such a year, which is no, and the year really is not of any significance to me or to this message this morning. But the truth is that there is a new wine that is being poured out in this day. And there is a new wineskin that is necessary for the new wine. And the charismatic movement has been coming to an end. And there has been a shift. And it's really good for us to understand when we say that, that that doesn't mean out with the bad and in with the good. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means out with that which has served its purpose and in with that which is coming. Amen. And so I am so thankful for the charismatic movement because it was in the flow of that that my wife and I were born again. And I tell you this, we had to be born again into an atmosphere that had some life in it, or we were not going to be getting born again because we did not want just stuffy church experience. And we needed the life of the Spirit and we needed the flow of the Spirit that the charismatic movement carried with it. There are a number of things that the charismatic movement carried with it that I just want to make mention of, and you may be able to think of some others. But it carried with it a real emphasis on corporate gatherings. I mean, many of you can maybe remember gathering for this and gathering for that. And some of you didn't live in an era when church was really dry. Some of you did, but some of you didn't. Some of you have only ever known kind of what is. And you might even find yourself saying, well, what was the big deal? Oh my gosh. Let me just tell you. There was a big deal. Because there was life in the Spirit, and it wasn't just about Jesus, and the Word. It was about the Jesus of the Word, and it was about the Spirit bringing the Word of God to life. And so there was a big deal, and there was a big shift, and it impacted many lives, and there became an emphasis on corporate gatherings in a huge way. There became an emphasis on prophecy and the declaration of one person to another, declaring the heart and the intent of God, the callings and the giftings, which was amazing. And some of you have grown up with that and you say, well, what's the big whoop? It was a big whoop, especially when something began to burn in you and you found, oh my gosh, I've got something intelligent to say to someone else that's bigger than me and I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I know that it's God. Yep. Amen. It was amazing. And the preaching of the Word took on a new nature and a new life, and it was, whoa, had some wind and some oomph in it. There were encounters with God. There was body life in a way that... I love you, man. People were falling in love with one another. And again, for those of you who've never known anything else, you don't realize how dry and how lifeless the body was. There was a tremendous increase in the level of faith in meetings and in gatherings, and it was like you could walk into a meeting 5'5" and walk out 8'6". It was like there was such a life in the Spirit. There were miracles and healings. Still are. I understand that. I'm not saying we're losing any of this, but I'm saying these are some of the things that what I'm trying to communicate. These were things that were new on the scene. So much so that some church realm said it's of the devil. It was so radical. Most of you have met Pastor Don Fotenhauer, who ministered here a few weeks ago. He spent years in court with the denomination that he was a part of that tried to take his church away and his accreditation because he got filled with the Holy Spirit and people were getting set free and healed and delivered. And this particular denomination said, God doesn't do that anymore. But God was doing that again. And he was doing it. And he paid a tremendous price. He came from a long lineage of pastors, like five generations, I think. Possibly, I'm not sure if this is a true statement, possibly back to Luther in generations. Cousins and uncles and the pastors. And all of a sudden, and it ushered in some awesome things. But in the ushering in of those awesome things, and this often happens, there is the swinging of the pendulum so far one way. And I want to suggest that the new wine is a bringing back of the pendulum to center. I want to suggest, and so there is an end to something. And it's just shifting. And again, that which ended is not bad, nor will it be leaving us anytime soon. I guarantee you prophecy will still be here.
Yes. Amen.
I guarantee you everything I just read will still be here. But there's an addition of some things. Because the danger is with the coming in of the emphasis on corporate, there was a losing of the awareness of individual with God. And it became all, and the danger was that it became all about the body, and we forget about the head. And Jesus would find that people love him for his body, and his eyes are saying, "Hey, my eyes are up here." You got that? What about the head? Thank God for the body, but what about the head? And he's bringing, and the pendulum, and part of the new wine is a celebration of the body of Christ, yes, but the body has a head. And we even sang it this morning. There is coming a fresh and a new and a deeper enamoring with Jesus. And an awareness of what he did at the cross, and an awareness, and on a personal level, not us, me. For me, he did it for me. He did it for ye, that's all of you, but he also did it for you. King James, ye, but you is you individually. And we must remember that everything that God did for the body of Christ, he did for me. And there is, and we've even seen it over the last, how many years have you heard about classes about hearing the voice of God? There is a shift coming back to, thank God for the prophet that speaks into my life, but I've got to hear from the head for myself. It's a shift. It's part of the new wine. I realize even as I'm preaching this, some of you are already living there, and I want to validate what you're living in. There's a shift from such an emphasis on, oh, the preacher, the preacher, the preacher, the preacher. Yeah, but what about what I get out of the Word of God in the secret place? What about my understanding of the Word? One of the real dangers is hero worship.
Come on.
I hate it.
Yeah.
The world is always going to have it because everybody needs a hero. They even write songs about it. But in the body of Christ, we've only got one hero. And his name is Jesus. And he introduces us to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not about hero worship. And I thank God for preachers. I like them. But I tell you, there's nothing that will take the place of getting into the Word of God for myself. And getting one verse. See, you can listen. And there's been such a commercial consumerism concerning even the preaching of the Word. And you can download and you can. And I realize even if I'm saying that, there might be someone listening to this and downloaded it. And I don't care. But for you who's listening to this by, have you been in the Word of God for yourself this morning? That's going to freak somebody out. Thank God for the ability that God gives men and women to unwrap the Word of God, the Bible. But what about my unwrapping the Word of God for myself? So I can listen to a one-hour sermon, or I can spend an hour with God on one verse and just let it have its way with me. It's part of the new wine. Part of the new wine is about the relationship of the individual with God through individual rather than corporate. And hear me out before you throw me out. We're going to come back to corporate because it is so important, the gathering of the body. There can be an imbalance of an emphasis on corporate encounters with God at the expense of private encounters. I tell you, one of the earmarks of this new wine, and we're even going to get into it before we're done here this morning, God wants to visit you. You. You might be here this morning, you say, well, I can never hear the voice of God. Get ready. You might say, you know, I've tried to get into the presence of God and I just don't feel anything. Get ready. Because this is what I hear the Lord saying. He is going to go the extra mile. He is coming and he is going to move. And I tell you, if you will set a time aside and invite God into whatever it is, your car, your living room, your bedroom, your bathroom, it doesn't really matter. I know this, he will show up. And you do not have to jump through any other hoops other than to ask him. Just simply ask him, because he is so serious about this. And he is coming with a visitation to you and I. And it is not just corporate, it is individual. And it is in the secret place, whatever that looks like for you. And he wants to meet you. And you maybe over the years have tried to do devotions. Forget about devotions and just become focused on God. And I don't mean throw out devotion books if they help you. I mean, don't put it under the umbrella of devotion. Put it under the umbrella of love for my Savior. Came a heavy emphasis on corporate faith and not enough emphasis on individual faith. That's why we see people come into a meeting and all kinds of testimonies. Oh, got healed, got healed, got healed. And a week later, they're not. And it's because they maybe did. There maybe was a corporate faith in the meeting, but they did not have it within themselves. And they could not hold, which was imparted to them by the body. And I know that's tough thing to say, but we need to begin to understand as the body of Christ that I am responsible for my faith before my God. And I can't expect someone else to pay a price for me that I won't even pay for myself. And that has been the danger. Finding the right person that's paid enough of a price to make up for the lack of me not willing to.
Come on. That's right.
Individual faith. personal faith. And healings will come in that. Yes.
Is that really what reading another book and another book and another book is?
What?
Seeking someone else to do this.
For those of you who didn't hear, she said, is that what reading a book after book after book is doing? No, I don't think, not necessarily. I would never say that, because maybe that is one God imparts to you. But I would say, when you do read a book, take ownership of whatever the book is about in your own personal way, and become a voice and not an echo of someone else. And recognize that there are many good writings. But I tell you, there's no writing like this writing. Did that answer that? Okay. See, please understand this. I'm not here this morning preaching against anything. I'm preaching for something. And what I'm preaching for is time with God in the secret place. That is part of the new wine. And we'd have a tendency to say, well, the old wine is better. We read it here. Those who, having drunk the new wine, say it's better. And really, the word better there means easier. Or more familiar. See, we can become very familiar with the form. You might say, well, I give God time every Sunday morning. Sometimes 2.5. Yahoo for you. He doesn't want your time. He wants your heart. He doesn't want my time. He wants my heart. And it's part of the new wine. And I know this, that some of you have begun to discover the sweetness of his presence in the secret place. And I just want to validate what takes place there, because we can begin to feel like it is so selfish. And it's not. Because there is something that is being imparted to you that will carry you through your day, and you will give it away here a little, there a little, everywhere you go. Some of you moms, you need to spend time in the secret place so that you can be a more well-rounded mom. And I don't mean get pregnant again. Some of you are going through things, and I tell you, I knew I was going to have trouble with this. You might be here this morning, you're already experiencing, and there is a concern with you that you will lose it. I mean, you will, there's a sweetness of his presence that you might be living in right now, and your concern is that it won't last. It'll last if you do. He is coming in this day in a visitation, and he's wanting that visitation to become a lifelong habitation, and the thing that'll transfer it from a visitation to a habitation is an invitation from you. And those of you who have already begun experiencing this, don't worry about losing it. Just keep inviting him in. Just keep inviting him deeper and going deeper in him. Keep thankful. By the way, if you're in that vein here this morning, you understand this. The hunger and thirst that you have is not from you. It is from God. And it is a sovereign work of the Spirit of God that is drawing you. The good news for everybody in this room, he's going to draw us all. He already is. He is drawing us. I can tell by the atmosphere in the room right now that there is a witness in the room that, yeah, this is right. I don't even know what he just said, but I know it's right. He doesn't know what he just said either. I just know that the part of the new wine is a secret place encounter with the God that provides everything that the corporate has provided over the years, plus more, because it's more precious. And the reason it's more precious is because it's filled with an intimacy that you cannot have within the body. A husband and wife can be on the dance floor and dance together and get very intimate. But I tell you, there's an intimacy that is of the bedroom that nobody sees and nobody should see. That's why it's called the secret place. If the place is not a secret, what takes place there is a secret. And I want to encourage you to develop a hidden testimony of your relationship with God that you never speak outside of the bedroom, outside of the room, of that place with God, whatever it is with you. And you develop that relationship. And I tell you, that which is done in secret will be rewarded openly. But don't you speak of it. Let Him speak of it. Let others speak of it. But you keep the secret a secret. What happens with God in the secret place? Oh, it's a secret.
Amen. That's good.
And to try to give it away is like throwing pearls before swine. And it's not that the people around you are swine, but it's that the preciousness of what you and he share is so precious. It's pearls of great price. I want to say to you, it's okay to drink alone. I don't care what they say. It's okay. It is okay to drink alone. You can drink here too. In fact, I think I will. Some of you have been longing to hear someone say some of these things for a long time. I can see it and I can feel it. And I want to validate your secret place encounters with God. It's part of the new wine. My caution to you is make sure that you come out of the secret place and give it away.
Amen.
See, because in the same way that the charismatic emphasis was on what took place in a meeting, the new wine and the new move of spirit is based on it happening everywhere, here and there. And it's not in a meeting. It's in the marketplace, and it's here, and it's there, and it's there. As Pastor Dave says, whosoever doing whatsoever, wheresoever. All for the glory of God. And so it's not about any one person except Jesus. It's not about any one place except the kingdom of God, which is quite expansive. And it's not about any one procedure. That's another thing that we got into formulas and procedures. And, well, this is how you do it if you want this result. Well, I better leave it. You might be here this morning and you say, well, I tried being in the... In fact, here's what I'm aware of. For some of you, the term secret place makes you want to spit up. For some of you, the word devotion makes you want to spit up. Go ahead, spit up. It's simply about intimacy with my Lord. Using terms like secret place because that's the terminology that Jesus used. And again, the place is not secret. It's the encounters with God that take place there. And can I just say this? Sometimes in the secret place, the encounters with God are very dry. And the secret to not losing it is to stay in the secret place anyway. There are times when he is silent in his love. But I refuse to be silent in mine. Some of you are feeling like, yeah, well, you don't know my schedule. It's not about time. It's about love. He doesn't want your time. He wants your heart. And when he's got your heart, and it may be a little bit at a time. It really doesn't matter. And it can be any number of different places. But I tell you this, he will meet you there. I think several, I don't even know how long ago it was. I think it was Luke. Someone prophesied from the pulpit up here, the veil between heaven and earth is getting. I know that to be true. He's right there. He's right there. By the way, that is why there is such an emphasis, and it's going to increase, on small groups. And house churches. Because of the intimacy that a smaller group will afford that a larger group will not. And if I can't be alone with him, I just want to be with six or eight other people that I like. They think I'm joking. yeah, well. Turn with me to 40:27. For those of you, that she has the correct verse up, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I do want to read you a verse out of Isaiah chapter 43 first. Do not compare or do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing now, and it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's doing a new thing. If you like the old wine, I encourage you to try the new. Isaiah chapter 40, pretty familiar verse probably to most of us. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, or my just claim is passed? Or my just claim is passed over by God. One of the things that I think it's important for us to understand in this transitioning from the old wine to the new is there's going to arise or can arise a little bit of a frustration because what you used to get out of the old wine, you no longer can get, and you must get it from the new wine. And basically that is what this verse we just read is saying. It's saying, God's not answering me. My just claim is it goes unanswered. Some of us have become very accustomed to get whatever we want at Alice's restaurant. Some of us have become very accustomed to get whatever we want out of a corporate gathering. And I tell you what, it's drying up. And it's not that there's, just for us individually is what I mean. There's still life in the corporate gathering, and I'll get to that. In fact, there's going to be more life. And it's already happening here on Sunday mornings, by the way. I'll go there now. The worship that Pastor Dave has been preaching about is going to continue to escalate, and it's going to be deeper and more lively and more exciting and more life-giving. But part of the reason is because you and I, as members, individual members of the body, have spent time with our God in the secret place. So we come into a gathering with a hunger and a thirst and a fire in our belly and a desire for Him. I prophesied at the beginning of the year that some of you who are habitually late to service would begin to get here habitually early so that you didn't miss the worship. And I tell you, that is going to happen, and that is even beginning to happen, because when the body, as individual members, spend time in His presence in whatever way that looks like for them, when that corporate body comes together, guess what? There is an infusion and a cross-pollination and a hunger and a thirst that is released in the entire body, and the worship is of a whole new and different level, because we're at a different level. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when a group of guys comes back for a men's retreat, or a group of women come back from a woman's retreat, that following Sunday morning is just an awesome service? Why? Because a segment of the body spent more time in the presence of God than they would have if they'd have been home doing the wash and taking care of kids and cleaning the house. That's the gals, not the guys. The guys would have been mowing the lawn. My point is that the saturation of an individual member in God adds to the collective body when we come together. Oh, I got to get going here. Here's the deal. I'm done. God wants to visit you, and He wants to visit me. I'm going to ask if the worship team will come up. They're going to worship, and I want to encourage you. The Lord wants, yes.
I just wanted to know if you would talk just a little bit more. You know, you said that in one sentence about giving your pearls to the swine.
Yeah.
And then on the next minute, you said that we'd be coming out of our secret place and sharing.
Oh, very good.
So,
okay.
It's a little bit.
Very good question. His question is, In one place I said, don't throw your pearls before swine. And another said, and then a little later I said, but come out of your secret place and give away out of the overflow. The difference is this. I have an intimacy with God that is nobody's business but mine. I have an intimacy with my wife that is nobody's business but ours. And that is not to be shared. But out of the intimacy comes fruit. Can't help it. It you can't stop it unless you refuse to come out. Now, there is a danger of spending so much time in the secret place that you become judgmental and become a secret place Pharisee, because nobody spends as much time in God's presence as you do. And the only reason you know that is because everybody's talking about how much time they spend in God's presence. Why? This is not a contest.
Amen.
This is about intimacy. It can't even be scheduled. And maybe freak some of you out, but the reality is even intimacy between husband and wife just can't be scheduled. It's about relationship. And so what takes place in the secret place is between me and God. But the life, in answer to your question, Joel, but the life that I have to give away is abundant. Because I've spent time with him who came that I might have life, and that more abundantly. So I want you to posture yourself this morning. God, here, God has been giving me a phrase for well over a year, and I've been praying and I've been asking him. God wants to move from the front to the back, and from the left to the right. He wants to meet you where you're at. I don't fully understand this, and I hope this doesn't get me in trouble, but he wants to put to death the altar. Or, I better say that. I'm already in trouble. He wants to have us understand that it's not about coming to the front. What I hear the Lord saying in this day, get ready, I'm coming to the back. I believe even now there are ministering spirit, there are angels. I know one came in with every one of you in this room, and they're just moving. Go ahead, play something. there's just the moving of the Spirit of God, and we can say it's Jesus, we can say it's the Holy Spirit, we can say it's angels. To be honest, to me, it doesn't matter that much as long as we understand it's God. Posture yourself to receive. He wants to walk right up to you and right into you. He wants to meet you where you're at. And I feel like he's saying, I am so serious about this, I'm coming to your house. I want to challenge you to test him in this. In fact, I'll prophesy it. I hear him saying, test me in this and see if you set aside time, if I am not there. I will be there. There will be no guilt trip if you're not there. But I will be there. Invite me, and I will show up. The worship team is going to sing this song. And it's a song about going past the crowds of people. When I heard them rehearsing it, I was in the room finalizing my notes, and my spirit just about leaped out and did a jig. Especially those of you who have trouble feeling God or hearing God. He wants to prove himself to you. You do not have to perform for him. He will meet you where you're at.